We've come to chapter 26. We're plowing through this book together. It's been a blessing to me. I hope it's been a blessing to you. We're in the middle of studying the tabernacle, and we've come to chapter 26. Exodus chapter 26. We'll read the opening six verses. This is the extent of our message tonight. We'll go through verse number six, and then we'll pick up there the next time we come to this book. Exodus 26, verse 1. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet with cherubims. Of cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together one to another, and other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. Thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain from the selvage in the coupling, and likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold of another. And thou shalt make 50 tacks of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tacks, and it shall be one tabernacle. Now I want you to notice the phrase in verse number one, curtains of fine twine linen. That's the message for this passage of scripture tonight, curtains of fine twined linen. You say, what are you going to preach on? Well, just hang in there, okay? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We pray that you'll take this thought, pray that you'll use it. Thank you for how you bless my heart in the study, and I pray that you'll bless the heart of the people for hearing what is preached. May nothing be said that displeases you. May everything I say and the spirit in which it's given be pleasing to you. Would you deal with us thoroughly? Help us to get a good grasp of this and help us to see that these coverings on the tabernacle are a wonderful, beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless now, I pray. We need you. I need you. Help me to be a clean vessel, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing with the details of the tabernacle, this chapter opens up with a description of part of the coverings of the tabernacle. Now, when you study the tabernacle in context and all together, you'll find that the tabernacle did not have solid ceilings like this. It wasn't solid. It was made like a tent, fabric like tents of ours basically were made of. It had four coverings that just kind of laid on top of one another, comprised of linen and goat's hair, along with rams and badger skins. There were four total coverings. Now, while one may think that the Lord would start from the outside of the tabernacle working in, he does the opposite. He starts with the inner covering and starts working out. Now, with this being the case, when you consider the full picture of the four coverings, now we're going to be preaching on these four coverings, but when you consider the four coverings all together, you see a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus' humiliation and his exaltation. Now, when we look at the innermost covering, we're going to look at this first because this is the opening six verses here. We'll see what this opening covering, this inner covering, if you will, shows about our Lord. Now, before I go into the details of this covering, let us realize a great truth here. These curtains were that we're about to study, I'm talking about the inner layer, where there's layers on top of it, you see. These were absolutely beautiful. They were beautiful. You'll see this as we read down through this, or as we already read through it, with different colors, with the cherubims held together with tacks of gold. This was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful covering, especially when you compare to its looks to the outer covering, which was the covering of badger's skin. Now get this. These curtains that we're studying tonight, the inner curtain, the first one on, and then everything on top of that, these curtains were the picture of the Lord's glory and the Lord's deity. However, because they were covered, now get this, paint this picture in your mind. Because these beautiful coverings that had gold and blue and scarlet and all these colors within it, this beautiful curtain that was made of 10 individual curtains, five coupled, and then they were tied together to make one big one. This beautiful, beautiful thing was covered with outer coverings, and get this, only those inside the tabernacle could see the beauty of this covering. Now get this. This was due to the fact that the inner covering made the ceiling. Just like when you look up here and you see the white, but on the outside you couldn't see the white. You understand what I'm saying to you outside this building? Because there's another layer on top of it, another layer on top of that. When you're inside the tabernacle, what we're describing for you tonight was what you would see if you looked up inside the tabernacle. You could not see it from the outside. Now get this. This is due to the fact that the inner covering made the ceiling when one looked up, which means that it was only visible to those who were inside the tabernacle, who had made their way into the tabernacle by way of the altar and by way of the laver and had been admitted. Now, we've not preached on the altar and laver yet, but when you put all this together, once I get done preaching through the tabernacle, if you go back and listen to this all again, it starts making sense. Bam, oh, I get that now. When they went past the brazen altar and what that meant, and they went past the laver and were admitted into the tabernacle, they looked up and saw this beautiful, beautiful covering. The point here is this. Those on the outside, looking at the tabernacle, there was no beauty to behold. It had no form, no comeliness. I mean, to those on the outside, they saw badger skins. And when we study that later, you understand this. It wasn't anything pretty to look at. But on the inside of the tabernacle, there was glorious beauty to behold. No doubt this represents the inner glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And along with this, no doubt this could represent the Lord being despised and rejected from outsiders, but being precious to those who are in Christ. May I say this to you? Even the world today belittles Christ. I mean, they don't like him. They don't want anything to do with him. He's not beautiful to them. They don't want anything, I mean, anything at all to do with him. But if you're in Christ, because he is the tabernacle, if you're inside of Christ, may I say this to you? To we who believe, he is precious. That's what the Bible teaches. The world doesn't see it, but God's children does. This is pictured in this first covering here. To the outside world, the Lord has no beauty, but to the children of God, he's the altogether lovely one. He's the bright morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. But we can only say that because we're in Christ and we see him for who he is and we see what the world cannot see. This is no doubt, this is all by means of introduction. The Lord is on display for us in this first covering that formed the inside ceiling of the tabernacle. The Lord is on display. And this first covering was the curtains of fine twined linen. The curtains of fine twined linen covered those who worshiped in the tabernacle. And the point is that without this covering of blue and scarlet and the other color, and without the loops and without the gold tacks holding it together, then the worship, those that came into worship would not be accepted. Because friends, as we approach this covering is Christ. And may I say to you that only worship that is offered through the righteousness of Jesus Christ is accepted by God. Only if you are under this covering will God accept your worship. May I say to you that God did not accept the worship that was made for inside the tabernacle, outside the tabernacle. You had to be in the right place at the right time, if you will, and you had to be under this covering. Friends, it's time we understand there are not many roads that lead home. It's time we understand that it's not that religion will make it, and that religion will make it, and that religion will make it, because every one of us serve the same God. No, we don't, friends. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through the tabernacle. And that means if you're going to have access into the holy place and into the holy of holies, that means you've got to be under this covering that we're studying tonight. That's the only way you can go into the holy place, because it's covered with this covering. Philippians 3:9 says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." So as we consider this first layer here, this first cloth here, this first covering, that when they were inside the tabernacle and looked up, this is what they saw. It's a picture of Christ's righteousness covering us, and we're worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, this being the case, let me give you several things about the curtains of fine twine linen. Number one, if you're keeping notes, this is Roman numeral number one. Let's notice, first of all, the cloth. We see this in verse number one. The Bible calls it fine twined linen. Now, when you see this phrase, according to my study, this fine twine linen was very, very expensive. Very expensive. And it was the very best linen that you could have. It was fine twined linen. It cost a lot, and it was the very best that could possibly be produced. Now, when you look at it this way, we're reminded of the expense and the cost that the Lord Jesus paid to redeem our souls, and how he's the very best. You can't get any better than he is. There's none that can be compared to Jesus Christ. May I say this to you? Fine twine linen was the very best you could possibly produce. And may I say, to redeem our soul and to make the way to heaven, God demanded the very best. And the very best was his own precious son. You cannot get any better than Jesus Christ. He is fine twine linen. You can't get any better than he is. And the price he paid, you talking about fine twine linen being expensive, what about the price Jesus Christ paid to make the covering for your and I soul? I mean, the Bible teaches us in Revelation 19:8, listen to this. It says, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen," now get this, "the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Yet the book of Isaiah says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. So what is the righteousness of the saints? It's Christ. He is our righteousness, the Bible says. Romans 3:25 says, "Whom God," talking about Jesus, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." The only way you can be forgiven is if you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ placed on your account. Fine twine linen, the cloth. What's it made of? Fine twine linen. What's that mean? That means it's very expensive to have it. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." I mean, he who is rich chose to become poor so you and I might be rich. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The cloth was fine twine linen. What's that mean, Jody? That means it was very expensive. Hey, the Lord paid the highest price that's ever been paid. It cost his own precious blood. What's it mean, fine twine linen? That means it was the very best that could possibly be produced. And when God demands a sacrifice, he demands the very best, and he sent the very best when he sent his only begotten son. What's it mean, fine twine linen? It means that Jesus Christ is sinless. He's spotless. You can't get any better than he is. The Bible says in Mark 9:3, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Mark 1:24 is saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. The Bible says in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's all pictured in the fine twine linen. He's the very best. He is sinless, and he paid a high price. That's in the cloth. Number two, let's notice the colors. This is found in verse number one. The Bible says, make it a fine twine linen, blue, purple, scarlet. Now, again, this all pictures Christ. Let's look at these colors and just see what the Lord is telling to Moses here when he's given the tabernacle dimensions and how to make it. Here's what he's saying. With that inner covering, what only those inside the tabernacle will see, you make sure it's fine twine linen. That pictures his sinlessness, his perfection, that there's none any better than him, and that he paid a high price. But now he said, make sure you make it of blue. Make sure you make it of purple. And make sure you make it of scarlet. There's nothing incidental in Scripture. There's a reason God said make blue in it. There's a reason he said put purple in it. There's a reason he said put scarlet in it. The blue, no doubt, stands for Christ of heavenly origin. May I tell you that blue is the color of the heavens, if you will. And in the Word of God, it's pictured. And what we're pictured with this color blue is that the one who the covering pictures is not of this earth. He come from above. The Bible says in John 3:13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. John 6:33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, greats the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. You say, Jody, what's the big deal that he came from heaven? Here's the big deal. That means he didn't begin in Bethlehem. You realize that people try to tell you that Jesus Christ is a created being? You realize that some people try to tell you that he began in Bethlehem? My friends, listen to me. The blue pictures him coming from above. He didn't begin on earth. He began in eternity. He had no beginning, has no ending. What's he saying? He's saying when you make the covering that pictures who Jesus really is, you make sure and make blue inside of it. And what God is saying is you make sure these people know that he didn't come from the earth. He came from heaven. Then he said, put purple in it. Now, I think you know what purple means, right? Purple, no doubt, stands for his royalty and that he is a king, his kingly character. Luke 1:32 and 33 says this, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Boy, I like that. You know, I don't even know what all that means. But it sure sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, the Bible says that of his kingdom. Hey, you don't have a kingdom unless you're a king, friends. His kingdom there shall be no end. Now, here's what I know. I know that means of his kingdom, there shall be no end. That's what I know. And if you're saved today, you're going to be part of that kingdom. You already really are part of that kingdom. Can I say it this way? You're on the winning side. Amen, friends. I know this life is hard. I understand that. Everybody gets hard times. But we're on the winning side. I mean, friends, listen to me. It's up and down. I mean, it doesn't matter what. In this life, it's up and down. Your job's up and down. Your team's up and down. Everything else up and down. I mean, up and down, up and down, up and down. Hey, listen, you're already on the winning side. We've already won the battle. Jesus Christ is on the throne, friends. I'm telling you, he's the King of glory. First Timothy 6:15, which in his times he shall show who's the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Matthew 2:2 saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. God told Moses, he said, in this covering, this first covering that only those on the inside of the tabernacle are going to see, you make sure that you make it a fine twine linen. It's the best that can possibly be produced. It cost a high price to even have it. And it's stainless, it's sinless, it's perfect. You put blue in it to let them know that he came from above. I'm getting blessed right there, friends. You put some purple in it to let them know that he's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. But don't you forget this, you put scarlet in it. We've already looked at this prior, but this brings out again a beautiful thing. The scarlet stands for Christ's sacrificial death and his offering of blood. One man put it this way, the color was obtained from a certain type of worm. In order to get the color, the worm had to die. Friends, a different preacher went on to say it this way, and I like this. He said, in some passages, the Hebrew word for scarlet is translated worm. To understand the meaning of the word scarlet, he says, read Psalm 22 on your knees and let the Holy Spirit speak to you through it. Because Psalm 22 is the most graphic description of the crucifixion. It's there where you read that his bones are out of joint. It's there where you read about the intense suffering and the action on the heart in verse 14 and the extreme thirst in verse 15. It's there where you read that the hands and feet were pierced and the parting of the garments was mentioned. All of this for you and me. As the substitute and sin bearer, the second Adam, sins of the race met on him. But when he died, he put them away by the sacrifice of himself. The scapegoat of the Old Testament, that's the Lord, by the way, bore them into the land of forgetfulness from which they can never be recovered. The demand of divine justice was satisfied. Psalm 22:6, Jesus, a prophecy of the Lord. He hadn't died on the cross yet. This was before he was even born. Psalm 22, I'm talking about a prophecy of the crucifixion of the Son of God. Here's what the Son of God says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of the people. Wait a minute. You get scarlet by killing a worm? And Jesus identified himself in Psalm 22, I am a worm. Hey, here's a thought for you. God became a worm so he could die so we could have a covering that has scarlet in it. By the way, we're going to learn more about the tabernacle all through eternity. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Number one, the cloth, fine twine linen. Three things we see about the Lord there. He's perfect. He's the best. And friends, I'm telling you, when you think about the fine twine linen, about the expense that it cost, and how much it cost to even have it, then you look at the colors. Blue, he's from heaven. Purple, he's the King of kings. Scarlet, he became a worm to die so you and I don't have to. But it doesn't stop there. Number three tonight, I see the cherubims. We see this in verse 1. Boy, verse 1's packed. You see the cloth there. You see the colors there. You see the cherubims there. Notice this. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen and blue and purple and scarlet. With cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. The curtains of fine twined linen were made with cherubims in them. Cherubims are associated with God's presence. And they're guardians of His holiness and messengers of judgment. You'll notice them mentioned in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned and the cherubims were placed at the entrance with a flaming sword. Beautiful, beautiful creatures. God created them. And they're associated with His presence. They seem to always be around the Lord. They're protecting, not necessarily the Lord, but guarding His holiness. They're beautiful creatures. But we see, get this, these cherubims were woven into the fabric. They're part of Christ. What do these cherubims mean? If they were hanging separately, it could be okay, that's a separate being, but no, they were woven inside the cloth. And the cloth is Jesus. So what are cherubims woven in the cloth that pictures Christ? What's cherubims being a part of Christ? What is God teaching here? Well, I studied this, and when I saw this, I'm like, that's it. I get it. Beautiful picture. Let me say it this way. Let me quote from another man. Since the curtains are representative of Christ, the cherubim also represent Him. The priest, get this now. Let this speak to your heart. The priest who served in the tabernacle, by the way, if you're saved, you are a priest. You're a believer priest. And the priest who served in the tabernacle were covered. They were covered with a mass of outstretched wings and feathers, the cherubims. Now with this in mind, these following verses start making sense. Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of thy eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 57:1, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Psalm 61:4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever, for I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Psalm 91 verse 4, He will cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. One man went on to say this, Jesus is the refuge for the weak and weary child of God. Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High find a hiding place unknown to the world where they rest in absolute security. The power of God protects those underneath. The cherubims emphasize this. See, when the priests look up, matter of fact, just kind of play with me here. Act like we're in the tabernacle and look up. Look up right now, okay? Now look back down. When the priest looked up, they became conscious. When they saw blue, they saw scarlet, they saw gold, they saw purple, and they saw the wings of the cherubims everywhere, they became conscious that God was looking down on them. The psalmist said in Psalm 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. The point I'm trying to say is this, that when the priest looked and saw the wings of the cherubim, he knew that he was under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. He was completely safe and secure while he was inside the tabernacle. He was under the wings of God. This is a glorious truth for God's children. A little boy with large dark eyes was lying on the operating table. The old doctor put his hand on the heart as the nurse was starting to administer the chloroform to put him to sleep. He was pausing a moment, his eyes lifted upwards before he took the knife, talking about the doctor. how he longed with God's help to save this little life. You can imagine a little child laying in front of you. He's getting ready to cut this boy and perform surgery, and he wants God's help. He began to ask, is he under the chloroform? Is he out? And as he took the knife, getting ready to perform the surgery, he overheard the little child, the little boy, on the operating table. And the little boy was saying this, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. A little boy saying that. That's the cherubims. That if you're in Christ, you're under his protection. You're under his wings. You're under his feathers. You say feathers aren't very strong. They are when they're God's. Amen. Wings aren't very strong. They are when they're God's. Amen. The point is if you're in the tabernacle, you are safe and secure under the wings of the Father. This is pictured in the cherubims. Psalm 63:7, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Somebody says, Jody, how secure is a child of God? As secure as Christ is. Because a child of God is in Christ. And as safe as he is as safe as I am. And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You say, Jody, how do you know you're saved? Because the Bible tells me so. That's the same way you do. And I'm trying to encourage you tonight that if you're saved, you're safe. Let come what may, you're under the wings of the Almighty. It's a great place to be, isn't it? And let me give you the fourth thing tonight. And that is, we've looked at the cloth. We've looked at the colors. We've looked at the cherubims. We close tonight with the coupling. We see this in verses 2 through 6. Let's read this. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of the curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together. There's where I get the word couple. Shall be coupled together, one to another, and other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. Thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain from the selvage in the coupling. And likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain. 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second. And the loops may take hold one of another. Thou shalt make 50 tacks of gold and couple the curtains together with the tacks, and it shall be one tabernacle. Reading through these verses, you'll see the harmony of this piece, this cloth, this covering. The Bible says all of them will have one measure in verse number 2. In other words, there's 10 separate pieces, if you will. Every one of them were to have the same measure, and then they were 5 were to be coupled together, and 5 were to be coupled together, and then they were to have 50 loops and 50 loops, and then couple them together with the 50 tacks of gold. So the 5 and 5 make one large piece and one large covering. You'll notice that it says couple it together. It's of one measure. It's one tabernacle. You see the harmony of it. And friends, I'm telling you, 50 loops of blue were to be upon the edge of each one of these sets of 5. And those 50 loops were to be held together with the tacks of gold. Again, the end result would be one harmonious covering held together by equal pieces, joined by 50 loops, blue loops, and 50 golden tacks. Now, what's the point here? In this, we see perfect balance in the covering, along with liberty that's found in Christ. Do you realize it's been said that the number 50 in the Word of God is the number of liberty? The number of liberty? And the Bible says, take this, put 50 loops on this one. Put 50 loops on that one and put 50 tacks and put it together. 50, 50, 50. Could it be that the Lord is trying to emphasize that when you're under the covering, you are free. You are set at liberty. You're not under bondage. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The point I get here is through the perfectly balanced Lord Jesus. He's perfectly balanced. Through the perfectly balanced Lord Jesus Christ, we can have liberty because of His deity coming from heaven to earth and holding together the piece of scarlet, blue, and purple. Now, friends, in these verses, we've studied the curtains of fine twined linen. Was it the outer covering? Could you see this when you looked at it on the outside? Yes or no? No. It was the inner covering. You had to be inside the tabernacle and look up. And when you looked up from inside the tabernacle, you saw the beautiful covering. If you stayed on the outside, did not go in, all you saw were badger skins. Nothing comely, nothing beautiful, nothing that would give you the impression of there's gold in there. The mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, the golden candlestick, the table of showbread. If you just stood out on the outside and did not go in, all you saw were badger skins. What's the big deal about this place? There's nothing special about this place. But oh, if you went on the inside, you saw gold. You saw the golden candlestick. Glory. You saw the table of showbread with a meal prepared. You saw a veil, by the way, that's been rent from top to bottom. And behind that veil was the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat that sat on top and the cherubim that stared down at the mercy seat where the blood would be shed. Remember, the law was inside the Ark of the Covenant. Mercy seat on top of it, blood on top of that, cherubims looking at it, and the presence of God looking down upon it. You walk inside the tabernacle, on the outside you saw badger skins, but when you got on the inside and you looked up, oh, what a beautiful sight. I mean, five equal pieces of cloth of fine twined linen. Five coupled together and five coupled together with 50 ribbons, if you will, 50 loops of blue on each one of them that were held together with a tack of gold. You looked up and it had purple in it. It had blue in it. It had scarlet in it. Only our imagination can go so far to even see what it looked like. But it was only viewed by those on the inside. Let me ask you a question. How beautiful is the Lord to you? How precious is Jesus? There are some Christians that still all they see is badger skins. By the way, thank God for the badger skins. You wait till we get there. But friends, God has so much more He wants us to see. How beautiful is He? Nobody knows unless they're inside the tabernacle. Can't you just see people when they walk in seeing how beautiful it is, knowing what it looks like on the outside, but get on the inside and then just can't help themselves to go back outside. And you got to come see this. Beautiful. These curtains of fine twine linen, which no doubt is another accurate picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is. No doubt. Especially to those who are on the inside. If you're in Christ, you know how beautiful He is. He's perfect. This is all in this covering. He's perfect. He's beautiful. He came from heaven. He's the King of Kings. He died for our sin. His righteousness is the only righteousness acceptable to God. He protects His own. He sets us free. Praise His holy name. That's all found in this first covering. And I just want to challenge us to see the beauty of Christ all over again. Let's not wait till heaven to see how beautiful He is. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to see how beautiful He is, okay? But spiritually speaking, let's not wait till then. Let's go in the tabernacle. We're already in it if you're saved. And let's just gaze a while. You understand what I'm saying to you? Spend time looking at Him. Man, that's beautiful. Spend time meditating on the different colors. Look at that blue. You know what that tells me? He didn't begin in Bethlehem. Look at that purple. His kingdom, there shall be no end. Look at the scarlet. He became a worm so that this covering could even be possible for me. Look at the gold tacks that are holding together the perfectly even number. Look at the cherubim. Look at all those wings and all those feathers. Man, it sure is peaceful in here. I sure feel safe under the wings of the Almighty. Now, friends, how do you apply this? I don't know. But I know this. You better be sure you're inside the tabernacle. Amen. And I know this. If He's lost some of His beauty, you've just closed your eyes. And some of us tonight need to remember the wings. You don't know what I'm going through. You're right, maybe I don't. Are you under the wings? You don't understand how hard it is. You're right, you're probably right. I don't know how hard it is. Are you under the feathers? When you look up in your place, when you look up, do you see purple? Do you see blue? You see scarlet? You see the cherubims? If you do, friends, listen to me. You are blessed. You're blessed. Because it means you are in the tabernacle on your way to heaven for all eternity. Amen tonight, friends. This is a Bible study on the tabernacle, the first curtains here, and I'm rejoicing in my heart that it's not just badger skins. It's a cloth of blue, purple, scarlet, fine twine linen with loops of blue and tacks of gold with cherubims everywhere. Amen, friends. Let us rejoice in who Jesus Christ is. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You today. Pray You'll help us now. Help me, Lord, to lead this in a way that pleases You. Please. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. My invitation is simple tonight, but I want to go back through it. When she gets prepared, she can begin to play through softly. I never want to let a service come and go without giving those an opportunity who do not know the Lord to receive Christ. Are you in the tabernacle? See, the tabernacle is Christ. That's who it is. Are you saved? Are you born again? You trust the Lord. If you haven't, come and let us take a Bible, share with you the gospel. Or if you are saved tonight and you know it, you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you're on the inside. How long has it been since you did nothing but just stare at the ceiling? Just look up and behold the beauty above your head. When's the last time you just rejoiced in blue and purple and scarlet? When's the last time you rejoiced in the cherubims? His protection over your life. Has God been good to you, friends? Has the Lord Jesus been precious to you? Why don't you come? Get on your face. Not ask for anything. Don't ask for anything. Just praise Him for who He is. Why don't you praise Him for the blue in Him, the purple in Him, the scarlet in Him? Why don't you praise Him for the cherubims that are found because of Him? Why don't you thank Him for the time that He became a worm so you and I can have scarlet, be made in the image of Christ? Maybe you need to come tonight as a child of God just to say, Lord, I'm under Your wings. Would You help me to rest there? Help me to trust there. Help me to believe there. To have peace there. If you're saved, you're under His wings. You're under His feathers. Sometimes it's hard to trust, isn't it? Some have already responded. Why don't you get out of your place? Why don't you come now? Would you do it? Come now. Don't wait for anybody else. Come now. Ask God to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for the privilege that You've given us to be in Your house, open Your word, study a little further on the tabernacle. Thank You for this first covering that You gave to Moses, how it was to be made, and for how it so beautifully pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to rejoice in our heart for who You are. Bless now, I pray, as we go our separate ways. Fill us with Your power and Your spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before I let you go, we're dealing with one here, so I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, thank you for being here tonight. But as you leave, if you don't mind, to kind of move that direction, fellowship maybe out in the lobby. And thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. Try to bring somebody with you on Sunday. Have a great day. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed. Thank you.